Grab your Bibles if you're home. Hopefully you've been continuing in the series we started called the Woke Jesus, yes. The Dangers of Progressive Christianity. We started that 4 weeks ago. We are in part four. And again, because this is a fifth Sunday, this is going to be a little bit shorter.
Yes.
Okay, but we don't want you to be left out of where we're going. And so I've got an opening question.
Okay, what is it?
That I want to ask everybody. And feel free to respond online. This is really, really general. There's a big, have you ever felt left out?
Oh, goodness. I sure have. Have you?
Yes. We all have probably been in a place where we felt left out before, mm-hmm. whether it's a group of friends or organization or anything, okay? I remember one time, I can think specifically, I tried out for the basketball team in eighth grade.
Yeah.
Okay? And I remember going to outside the coach's office. The final cut was on the window of the coach's office. You're looking for your name, like, am I on there? And I wasn't on there.
You didn't make the team.
Man, I was devastated. Because number one, I thought I was as good as some of the other players that made it.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. And so, man, I was devastated. Okay. And so I can think of a few other times in life, but that was one of the bigger ones. Man, I was, you know, being a young teenager, I mean, that was a big deal to me.
Mm-hmm.
And so with that, I remember making it next year as the ninth grader on the basketball team and how that made me feel. So yeah, I have felt out, you know, have you ever felt left out before?
Yeah. Yeah. This is going to surprise you, but I was not exactly a cool kid. I was kind of a nerd in school. Yeah.
Really?
Yeah. So there was a lot of things that I felt excluded from just by nature of the school that I went to. I went to a different school than a lot of my church friends, and they thought it was because I was a weirdo, smart kid. And so I felt excluded as a young person and a teenager. And even now, I think sometimes as adults, it's easy to feel like, you know, when we move to town and we're new in town and you're trying to make friends, you feel like, well, they already all have friends. They're all friends with each other. And maybe they don't need a new friend. And it's hard to kind of break into those social groups. And it's easy to feel excluded.
So I think everybody, and I think even if you're listening, you're watching at home, you probably have felt that way before.
Sure.
If you've got a good one, type it in the comments. Let us know, okay? Or you can even text it to us, 605-215-5150. Remember, you can use that number to ask questions about the message. Maybe something we say brings up a question. That is the best way to get a quick response. Now, it may take us a day or two. It's not immediate response. Use that. Use the Connect card, okay, in person, online, because we want to talk with you about these things. We don't just want to talk at you.
Absolutely.
If we need to continue the conversation, we would love to do that, even sit down with you if it's serious and we need to. We'd love to do that. So we're going to continue our series this morning.
Sure.
Okay. Really, in parts one or two, we talked about the dangers of progressive Christianity.
Yes.
And this is the Christianity that really wants to model Christianity after culture instead of culture after Christianity.
And we've made it clear from the very beginning, we're not talking about people outside the church.
Right.
These are not people who profess to be unbelievers, who, you know, follow a different religion or are atheists. These are people who claim to follow Jesus, but they have remade and remolded Jesus into their own image, into a likeness that is more palatable to them. Whether that's throwing out scripture, we talked about that the first couple of weeks.
Yeah, parts one and two. We talked about a lower view of scripture, right? They don't view the Bible as scripture, as God's word.
Yeah,
holy.
As 100% true, 100% authoritative. That means it has the right to tell us what to do.
I can pick and choose what I want to believe.
Yeah, we just rip out a handful of pages that we don't like, right?
Right. So that was one and two. That was kind of the first danger we told people to look out for. And then the second danger, which we covered in part three, was a distorted view of humanity.
Yes.
Of how they see men and women, right?
Because if we don't understand who we are in the eyes of God, both, you know, made in God's image and the value that gives us, but also as fallen, as capable of sin, we're all prone to sin and our hearts wander from the Lord. And if we don't recognize that, then we don't recognize that the solution, following Jesus, accepting his sacrifice on the cross for us and believing that makes us holy in God's sight, we don't see that as necessary or important if we don't recognize how far we've fallen from God's grace.
Right. So today we're going to be looking at a third sort of characteristic of the progressive Christianity, kind of a danger to be looking out for. And really, we're going to call this a rejection of exclusivity.
Yeah.
Okay, that just rolls off the tongue, right? A rejection of exclusivity.
Those are kind of some big words there,
Jason. Right. And so let's begin with sort of the progressive view of exclusivity. This is what we do when we bring up issue. We kind of talk about the progressive view and then the biblical view.
Yeah.
Okay. Really, it could be summed up in just a couple of phrases. Exclusivity is bad. Inclusivity is good.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. But I even got an email this morning from some random company. They were talking about their goals for the next year, and one of their goals for 2022 is inclusion. They want to include more people, even I guess people that aren't interested in this particular, you know, ideology.
Right. Right. And some of that, honestly, is good. Some comes from an unhealthy place, unbiblical place. But we're talking right now, specifically, really as it pertains to progressive Christianity, mm-hmm. those that would claim to be Christians, yet they've sort of gone beyond the bounds of Scripture. But mm-hmm. it's easy to, like, where in society does this come up, this exclusion of, this rejection of exclusivity? We don't like to do it, right? We see a movement for certain clubs, organizations to be more inclusive.
Yeah. Okay? I can even think of, you know, like more, some organizations, maybe societies or things, especially maybe in New England where people are wealthier, that have been exclusively male for a long time. There's been these pushes to include women in these clubs because it's not fair if we're leaving someone out, if they're not eligible to be a part of this society or whatever it is, right?
And there could be accusations of racism and sexism. In some cases, maybe that's true.
Sure.
And in some cases, maybe not. Okay, mm-hmm. so we see this in society because we're kind of uncomfortable, or we're becoming more and more comfortable as a society of leaving people out.
Right.
Okay, especially as it pertains to who they are or something they believe in. Mm-hmm. Like that is a huge violation in today's society.
Yes.
So how has this kind of crept up into the church? Because it's come from society and it's really crept into the church, or how does it show up in progressive Christianity?
Well, we don't want to leave anybody out because, like we said, we have ourselves felt left out before. We know how yucky that feels.
Sure.
And so we want to say, okay, well, everybody can be in. Everybody can be a Christian, which on one hand, that's sort of true. Everyone can be a Christian, but there are some certain requirements to that, which we're going to get into in a
minute. That doesn't mean everybody is.
It doesn't mean everybody is. And I think the progressive church, because they want everybody to be in and not out, they're sort of lowering some of the standards and saying, well, you don't have to do anything to be in.
Right.
There's no requirements to be a part of this group of people that we call Christians.
Right, so it leads to really a redefining of sin.
Yes, okay. Like we talked about last week, we have to throw out the idea that we're sinners if we want to change some of the gateways into Christianity.
Right, so we redefine sin, mm-hmm. which leads us to accept maybe behaviors the Bible forbids.
Absolutely.
As acceptable nowadays,
yes.
okay,
mm-hmm.
or choices, whatever. Mm-hmm. And you get this warm and fuzzy, Jesus accepts everyone phrase. You might see that a lot, which is biblically not true, because acceptance is love is two different things. And
but
we could really
sort
go
of redefine those words
we
to
have,
make acceptance and love the same thing, right?
Right, and we could go down a rabbit hole mm-hmm. there, which isn't necessarily the point today, but we see that society where we have equated acceptance and love, and those are two mm-hmm. different things. God loves everyone.
He does.
But he doesn't accept everyone. We're going to get into that. So that's where mm-hmm. That's where some of the rub is, okay? Popular authors and bloggers, Christian, pseudo-Christian celebrities. I mean, mm-hmm. we've seen many cave to this.
Yes.
And it leads to Christ, a rejection of Christ as the only way to God or heaven.
Yes.
Okay, and it can lead to rejection in hell. And we're going to talk in probably the last part of this series mm-hmm. About justice and mm-hmm. heaven and hell. Mm-hmm. And so we may not go exactly where you would like us to go today, but we're going to leave some of that for later.
Because we're going to get to that. We're going to get to why those are important concepts and why the church has believed in those throughout the centuries.
And so it leads to forms of universalism.
Yes.
Which is a big phrase that just means there's a lot of ways to God. Or everybody
gets in.
And some even universalists even disagree about how they make it, but they agree that mm-hmm. at the end, everybody's going to make it.
Right. It's this idea that, you know, if God is at the top of the mountain, you can come from anywhere around the mountain and get to the top, and you'll get there eventually.
Right. And so this progressive view of exclusivity, this sort of rejection of it, it's like they kind of recoil against it. I think a lot of it comes from a place of wanting to be liked and accepted by culture.
Yes.
But I think some of it, let's be honest, you know, I think some of it comes from a place of compassion where, like, biblical Christianity would say you are not living in a way.
I'm not.
Would identify
individual.
You as a believer. You're not living in a way that lines up with biblical morality, and therefore you're out. But I love you, and I truly care about you. So I'm going to pick you over the Bible. Mm-hmm. And so some of it does come from a good place, but it's truly misguided.
Yes.
Okay? And so I believe we can't discount actual love and compassion being right. a motive for some of this.
Yes.
Because as a church, if we act like we're the only ones that love and have compassion for mm-hmm. other people, that's not completely true. There is misguided love and compassion that are steering some of these things, because the choice is you or Scripture, mm-hmm. and I'm picking you. And again, that's maybe an oversimplistic view of it, mm-hmm. but really, really that's true.
Okay? Because it puts us in a hard place, right? When someone we love is pursuing a lifestyle of sin, and we would like to right. think that that doesn't exclude them from God's kingdom.
Right. And so we're very uncomfortable with people being excluded, especially when it has to do with their feelings or their beliefs.
Mm-hmm. Going back to last week about who yes. they are, maybe.
Yeah, so we have this view of Jesus accepts everyone, all roads lead the same place, which really, and we've talked about this here at Cornerstone before, I think of this coexist bumper sticker.
Have you guys seen that bumper sticker?
You got a bumper sticker with symbols.
It's got all the different religious
symbols. Many of the world religions. Mm-hmm. But what's ironic is that bumper sticker is self-defeating and contradictory, because at least three of them,
Islam, Judaism, Christianity,
are the world's three major monotheistic, which means they believe in one God. Which means those three alone cannot coexist with each other.
Because they don't believe in the same God,
they don't
God,
believe
right?
in the same God. They really don't. And so those three cannot coexist, much less the others that say there are many. Some say there are many gods. Some say this is all just an
like
illusion.
Like we're all God. Everything is God.
Right. And so I get the desire of why can't we just get along? Mm-hmm. And we should respect someone that believes differently than us. Mm-hmm. So this isn't about
respect.
It doesn't
respect. Exclude kindness.
Right.
But we don't have to
but
agree
all
about
of
everything.
Those beliefs cannot coexist. They all cannot be true.
Right.
Right. Mm-hmm. And so really we
which we talked about it really a couple weeks
we
ago
did.
We talked about the Bible being absolutely true.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. And so we see many of those on that bumper sticker that make less exclusive claims being yes. more accepted by popular culture right. because they're a little more accepting. Where everybody's mm-hmm. in, we're not putting up you know, some exclusive standard. And in many ways, this is an extension of an idolatry of our feelings, which we've talked about. Mm-hmm. And nobody's feelings need to be hurt except those making exclusive claims. We see
right,
that.
Right, it's okay to hurt our feelings.
We see that as a side. So really, I find it really a self-defeating, contradictory stance in view. Mm-hmm. And so I think you guys get where we're going.
Yeah.
So let's
talk about what historic Christianity
number two,
teaches.
Yes.
Yeah.
Let's
because
do that.
That's what the progressives are throwing that out. But historic Christianity says what about
yes.
Jesus?
So the historic biblical view of exclusivity, the scripture's pretty clear in this. Jesus is exclusive. Mm-hmm. Heaven is exclusive.
Yeah.
And honestly, hell is exclusive.
Sure.
Okay.
Not everybody gets into either one, right?
Right. Israel was exclusive in many ways in the Old Testament.
Yeah. The very first covenant that God makes with all of his people, of course, he makes these covenants with Abraham early, but when Moses leads the children of Israel out of Egypt and they go to Mount Sinai and he gives them the Ten Commandments, he speaks from the mountain and he starts by saying this. He says, I am the Lord your God who brought you out of the land of Egypt, out of the place of slavery. You shall have no other gods before me. So it was a commandment against idolatry and against polytheism, like a lot of the cultures around them. But he said, listen, I'm it. You can, if you're going to be my people, you serve only me.
Right. Right.
And so from the very beginning of God's kind of covenant relationship with his people, he said, there's only one way and I'm it.
It definitely was. And Jesus was very clear about this. Mm-hmm. Jesus made the most exclusive claim and he made it about himself.
Yeah.
He said in John 14:6, he says, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me.
No one.
No
except
one.
Except through Jesus,
and,
right?
Yes, except through Jesus. And people would have recognized the Father as God, and they would have understood what he was claiming.
Yeah.
Not only was he claiming a claim of deity, but this is a very exclusive thing.
Yeah.
I am the way. I am the truth. Even that statement by itself. I am the life. Mm-hmm. There are three exclusive statements right there in this first sentence.
Way, truth, life.
Yeah. And then Jesus even says in Matthew chapter 7, so church, we're not even going to spend a lot of time on this because biblically,
it's all throughout the New Testament. It's very clear.
It's all the way through Scripture. Jesus says in chapter 7, he says, enter through the narrow gate. This is verse 13. He says, for wide is the gate and broad is the road that leads to destruction, and many enter through it. But 14, verse 14 says, but small is the gate and narrow the road that leads to life, and few, only a few will find it.
Yeah.
And that's very sad. Mm-hmm. But it paints a different picture than progressive Christianity wants. They want everybody in. We sort of serve sort of God, sort mm-hmm. of Jesus as a teacher, but not the Son of God.
And I think we want it to be easy.
We
too.
Want it
like
to
it
be
talks
easy.
About in this, we want that broad, easy path, but Jesus says right. That's not the way.
He doesn't give us that option. Mm-hmm. You know, he even said that following him is going to lead to divisions. He even said it might cause a division among a family.
Yeah, mothers and fathers, sisters and brothers.
And I can see that when it comes to something being exclusive, yeah. like, do I pick you? Do I pick Scripture? Do I pick your feelings, your desires? Do I pick biblical truth? And this shows up in a lot of ways.
Yeah.
Okay, you might be thinking of one or two that may be prominent in society, but this shows up in a lot of ways. Because I can still love you, but retain my loyalty to Scripture.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Now, it may change our relationship, our dynamic. You may not like my stance, mm-hmm. but I can still love you.
Yes.
And be loyal to Scripture first and foremost.
Because honestly, if we don't stand by Scripture, if we don't say that sin is sin, if we don't ask people to repent from it, if we believe that this is true, if we believe that Jesus'
yeah.
exclusive claims are right, and that only he's the only way to God the Father. If we don't ask people to find that way, to find mm-hmm. repentance, to find wholeness in Jesus, then we are condemning them to a life apart from God. If we're
really
excusing
are.
Their sin, and that's not loving.
No, we are called to love everyone. Mm-hmm. Okay, and I wrote down in my notes when I studied it, it says we're called to love inclusively while preaching and proclaiming an exclusive gospel,
yeah.
an exclusive Christ.
Because the thing is, Jesus says, I'm the only way.
He says he's
the
only way.
But he says that's available to everyone. There's not a single person that's excluded from Jesus' invitation. That was even a surprise to the Jews later
right.
in the New Testament, in the book of Acts. They thought God's promises were only for them. And God's like, no, hang on. It's for the whole world. It's for everyone. Jew, Gentile, male,
right.
female, slave, they were all included in Jesus' invitation. We're all welcome, but we have to find the right path, which is Jesus, and we have to lay down our sin
yeah.
and our rights and take up our cross and follow him.
Well, because we act like being left out is a horrible thing, and depending on the motive and how it happened, it can be a bad thing.
Yes.
But listen, we live in a world of things that are exclusive.
Mm-hmm.
If I sit down in a restaurant, I'm probably not going to be able to negotiate a $1 burger if it's a gourmet $13 burger.
Mm-hmm. And you probably won't even be able to come in if you're not wearing a shirt and shoes, right?
Right? No shirt, no shoes, no service, okay? Today, no mask,
yeah.
you know, potentially.
Yeah.
We live in a world where things are exclusive all the time. I don't want to pay the ticket price to go see a movie. Well, I'm not getting in.
Right.
Right? Clubs, organizations, schools, mm-hmm. you know, they have admissions. They have
applying
standards.
For a job, there's going to be job requirements. It's like, if I want to go out and be a welder, like
You probably have to know how to weld.
I'm probably not going to get that job. I don't think I meet the job requirements to
no,
be a welder.
You probably
I have
can't
zero
go.
Experience, zero training.
It's not fair that I can't be a welder. Have you welded? No. Well, we're not going to hire you. Well, that's not fair.
Mm-hmm. And but people treat this the same way. It's not fair that they can't go to heaven. Well, have they followed Jesus? Have they submitted to him?
Right.
Renounce their sin and made Jesus the Lord of their life, well, then
right.
they can't call themselves a Christian.
Yeah, and so we're going to wrap up here, but Christians, I want you to think about this. If you're a Bible-believing Christian, mm-hmm. we've got to be comfortable or at least accept
yeah.
that our views are less popular than ever because of the society
yes.
we live in.
And Jesus promised us that would be
and
the case.
And this shouldn't be a surprise. He said this would happen. If they mm-hmm. hate me, they're going to hate you.
Yes.
Yeah. That's what he said. Mm-hmm. And so this concept of being exclusive, exclusivity, we have to wrap our heads around it, and we have to settle it in our hearts now. If I settle that now, I'm less likely to waver if something happens to somebody
yes.
I love,
yeah.
somebody in my family, somebody at my workplace, somebody that's a friend
yes.
has opposing views,
mm-hmm.
and they don't want to be left out. Okay? And so this shouldn't be surprises, believers. Jesus says it's going to happen. So guys, we have to wrap our heads around this.
Yes.
And so if you're an unbeliever, I ask you at the beginning if you've ever been left out. And I think we can all identify
yes.
with that. Listen, we've already alluded to, the good news is Jesus invited everyone to follow him.
Yeah, you okay? don't have to be left out.
No, we all start at the same place. We all start lost in our rebellion against
yes.
God. We're all in the same boat. No matter how bad my rebellion was compared to somebody else's.
Right.
The world may say your rebellion is worse than theirs. Jesus says, Man, you've all rebelled.
All sin separates us from God.
Yes. So the good news of Jesus is we start in the same place. And yes, he does ask us to follow him. He asks us to go all in with him, which means we give him our lives. Mm-hmm. Our lives are his. We have to surrender our hopes, our fears, our feelings, our wants, our desires. We surrender that.
Yeah.
But when we do that and we trust in what he did, which was paying our price for us, the price of our rebellion, the penalty, okay, he promises to give us new life. He promises to be with us. Okay.
And he does. We've seen that in our lives.
And so he invites everyone to follow him.
Mm-hmm.
And he asks the same of everybody. That's the great thing. The invitation is everyone, and he asks everybody to do the same thing,
regardless
of how the world may view our rebellion. And so that's the good news of Jesus. And so if you're a believer, I hope this has been an encouragement to you. If you're not a follower of Jesus, man, hopefully maybe it's piqued your curiosity or maybe you understood something about the church you've never understood before. But I want to pray with you this morning.
Yes.
And listen, especially if you're sitting there at home or maybe listening later, driving your car and listening on your phone, mm-hmm. And you want to talk to us about any of these things, or you want us to pray for you, or especially if you recognize you need to commit your life to Jesus, and maybe you've gone to church some in your life and you never have, fill out a Connect card, use a Connect number, because we want to pray with you, we want to talk with you. And so I want to pray right now and pray for all of you listening and watching. Lord, we thank you for your word. God, we acknowledge that, God, Scripture can be challenging. We can read things that we don't like. We can read things, Lord, that we would rather not do, or things we'd rather not live by. But God, as we follow you, Lord, we follow your word. So God, I pray that as followers of Jesus, you give us a better understanding of your word. You give us a complete loyalty to your word. And God, you give us courage to live according to your word, even when it doesn't line up with popular culture or those around us. And God, I pray for anyone listening that is not following you, that they have not got all in with you. I pray that you would, first of all, Lord, that you would reach out to them, that you would convict their heart, and they would recognize that they are lost and separated from you. And Lord, they need to surrender their life to you. And God, if they're ready, I pray that you would help them to reach out to us, Lord, take that final step on their own, but Lord, still get connected with the faith community that believes in the biblical Jesus. But God, if they're not ready to follow you, I pray that you continue to draw them to you, that you'd speak to their heart, and Lord, you just lead them to a place where they come to the end of themselves and they're ready to surrender everything to you. So God, we thank you for this morning. We thank you for our time that we've had with everyone here, everyone listening, watching. God, just continue to do what only you can do, we pray. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen.
Amen. Guys, thanks for joining us. Reach out to us with a Connect number, Connect card. Mm-hmm. Hey, guys, have a blessed week.
We love you guys.
God bless you.